It's painful to watch the Cowboys. Now it's painful to play for them. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. What I mean by that is Dak Prescott's headed for the MRI machine. CeeDee Lamb, same thing. Pearl is a hamstring and a hand injury for Dak yesterday. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb, it's a shoulder. He did come back into the game to catch a two-point conversion, but the season's done. I mean, I don't know now what would constitute, like, air quotes, success. The playoffs feel like a pipe dream.
Well, you say that, but if you were the GM, would you give up on everything and just sit Dak until he's fully healthy, sit Mike until he's fully healthy? Or would you try to put out a competitive team on Sunday against the Eagles?
Well, if I were Jerry Jones, I would have actually handed the handed the franchise over to my son or somebody else long ago.
I said GM as if it was a normal GM.
Me, I'm just going to be sitting on the yacht drinking some Johnny Walker. Let the football people do the rest.
I really am dying to see what happens here. Okay, say the MRI is not too bad on the hamstring and there's a chance that Dak can play on Sunday. And then there's a chance that Micah Parsons can come back. What if you throw the whole kitchen sink at this game? You really, it's your division rival. Anything can happen in a divisional game, and they find a way to win this game. You look at it like it's completely unfathomable. I just don't see that because of the NFC Eastness of it all. Like, it's a kind of a meh division.
I think this year's proven that this one is just, this is not going to be the year. How about that? And
that means they lose. They lose on Sunday.
I think they are going to lose to the Eagles on Sunday. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Now that's a home game for them, so it's the Eagles in Dallas. Maybe that helps, but they've been terrible in Dallas. So all that whole mystique of Jerry World, that's gone. And it's just become painful, to be honest, to watch it. And Perloff, you brought up a really good point earlier. They're boring. It's kind of like the meanest thing you could ever say to Jerry Jones. You could say your team stinks. You could say this, that. If you were like, you guys are just boring, then that cuts deeper than anything.
Yeah, probably.
Because you're selling me on, like, it's the hope.
Yeah.
If this happens, then this happens. And none of that stuff is what the odds that all these things are going to come true to go on some sort of magical run. I think the opposite is going to happen. I think it keeps getting worse. Because everyone's got a microphone. Yeah. Everyone's got a podcast. You know, Zeke Elliott's not even showing up.
Thank God for that. Actually made the game a little closer than it should have been. I noticed, too, the fans seemed less interested. I kept noticing. I mean, there are all these Atlanta fans in the crowd yesterday. Then I remember the game was actually in Atlanta. But 5 years ago, there would be Cowboys fans in the crowd. It does feel like... did you think that, by the way? The stadiums kind of look alike to me when the roof is up in Dallas. Anyway, I do think I sensing, and I don't know where I'm sensing this from, apathy from the fan base. That you're right, Jerry prides himself on being interesting. I still think they're interesting from a national perspective, especially with the trade deadline on Tuesday. What if they make a move? It'd be so funny. They're the too little, too late franchise.
Oh, my gosh. Now you're going to bring someone in after you've already lost to the 49ers and the Falcons in back-to-back weeks? Like, you could have used somebody then.
Yeah, I don't know. The NFL needs them to win this next game to go to 4-5 because with the Cowboys out of it, then if they go to 3-6, then they're irrelevant. There's just enough, and this I think you and I disagree on this. I think there's just enough relevance at 3-5, and the MRI results haven't come out yet, and the trade deadline hasn't passed yet. Just enough relevance to still, they're still in the game. I'm saying there's still a chance.
I'm not. You're delusional. Do you know how many teams have only have two wins this year?
Nine.
Nine teams.
Yep.
Like, and the only reason I'm thinking about that is what does it mean for the trade deadline and who are going to be all these buyers and is it going to be Jerry? We've already seen some major moves. Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, who we're going to see tonight on Monday Night Football. All these things. You have so many bad teams.
Yep.
There should be a lot of movement here.
There should be. I think the Cowboys should be sellers. I agree with you on that. I'll tell you one thing.
Well, at least they're not a three-win team.
There's one player, if I'm every GM, if I think I could get Jerry after a couple scotches, there's one young player on that team who I would definitely go for. DeMarvin Overshawn is shot out of a cannon. That dude is a baller.
Yeah,
I think the Cowboys know that,
yeah.
So they will not trade him. But, like, I honestly am trying to take advantage of Jerry here if I can because there's got to be a sense of desperation there.
855-212-4227. You know, we talk to Nick Costos every Friday. We talk about point spreads and stuff, and he says the wrong team favored, WTF, wrong team favored. I think that's the thing with the Cowboys. they're sellers. They think they're buyers. Wrong team favored, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that they have much to sell because they're not selling Dak. He's $60 million a year. So I don't know, like, who are they going to sell? That's the problem. They're a bit bloated.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We will get back to what happened with Jason Kelce over the weekend with a fan at Penn State. Fan says something completely out of line, completely derogatory about Travis, and Kelce went over, took the dude's phone, and smashed it into the ground. That wasn't the only fan incident that happened at Penn State. James Franklin got into a back and forth with a fan, and then slightly different, Joel Embiid of the 76ers shoved a reporter in the locker room, a columnist, who had written something about him and his family that he didn't like. So a lot to unpack with fan behavior, but at this time every Monday, we do the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, EJ, kick us off.
All right, let's get to the NFL action. And when we begin in my Buffalo, where Maggie was dropping F-bombs on the treadmill here in New Jersey after Tyler Bass' 61-yard field goal.
No, that's just a regular day for
over
me.
Dolphins.
Yeah, that's just a regular Tuesday for me. For the Bills, this obviously was big. This puts them just completely in the driver's seat for the AFC East. And they have a lot of tough games coming up, but they've obviously built this pretty big cushion. Going to get a home game in the playoffs, maybe multiple home games. And for the Dolphins, I actually thought they played pretty well in this game. They just had some bad penalties on the final drive. This game was about to go to overtime, and who knows?
Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, Raheem Mostert. Trade all four on Tuesday. Are you going to be in limbo for the rest of eternity? This should be the number one seller team on the market, and they won't do it because the GM doesn't want to lose his job. The Dolphins have to sell. It's over, over.
It's over for this year.
This year, Tyreek Hill's 30. Jalen Ramsey is, these guys, over.
Ramsey made a great play on Keon Coleman.
Over for this year. Like, it's over. They've been mediocre since 1987. Like, it's time.
So what, are you going to have Tua there with nobody around him? That's a recipe for disaster.
You have a two-year deal. I have it all planned out. You trade everybody now, get as much talent as you can, and so when the new quarterback comes in 2 years, he's surrounded.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go to Cincinnati, where it was 5 Joe Burrow touchdowns that made this one a lot for the Bengals. 41-24 over the Raiders.
I thought that it would be smart to get an MVP vote in on Joe Burrow early in the season. Now, they come up against the Bengals. If he outduels Lamar somehow, then...
The Ravens, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that'd be neat if they come. He is, on Sunday, he was 5 touchdowns, 1 pick against a terrible Raiders team. But you look at his numbers, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks on the year. That dude is as elite as they get.
Burrow's awesome. They put themselves into a little bit of a hole, though, and I'm not that impressed that you beat the Raiders. We'll see what happens with the rest of their AFC North schedule. But this is about the Raiders. You have this three-headed monster, air quotes, of quarterback, Gardner Minshew, Jake Haener, and Desmond Ridder they just brought in, and you lose, predictably. And then the head coach fires the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach, and the offensive line coach, who you just hired. The Raiders are beyond embarrassing. We're letting them off the hook this morning. We are definitely going to get to them.
Really? Why? Like, who cares? Like, they are as irrelevant. They're the most irrelevant franchise.
Which is why we have to talk about them, because they should not be this irrelevant, and they are.
I don't agree with that, but go ahead.
We'll get to more on the Raiders. Antonio Pierce, this reign of terror. What is going on with this guy?
Speaking of irrelevance, the Browns go to 2-7 after the Chargers whooped up on them in Cleveland, 27-10. Chargers win.
Yeah, this is the full Jameis. Last week, he's the hero, and he's got all this inspirational stuff quoting Eminem. And now this week, he's back to Jameis. He didn't get a lot of help from his offensive line. He was sacked 6 times, but he threw 3 picks in this game.
Yeah, 3 picks.
Yeah. This is not...
One really bad.
The spark they were hoping with the Jameis Winston is not happening.
I kind of want to see DTR. By the way, Chargers, it's crazy.
I want to see FDR. I want to see anybody but this guy.
Their schedule is just... It's been crazy. Like, they've had a who's who of awful teams that they're playing. Justin Herbert looks great. But I don't know. I have no idea how good that team is. Like, how do they match up? Say they were playing the Ravens on a neutral field. Do you have any idea who
no.
they would be?
Herbert got sacked 6 times, too.
Yeah, but he is. He's also, like, he's playing like an MVP.
Feasting on that last place schedule. Let's go to Tennessee, where the Titans beat the Patriots in overtime, despite a pretty sick Drake May touchdown that sent the game to overtime.
This was the best bad game I've seen. Because after a while, in the 1 o'clock window is one of the only games that was close. And so I turned it on because there were so many blowouts that were going on. Mm-hmm. Drake May, that's an all-time play. If you're a Patriots fan, you are so excited. The problem is everything else around May. And the Titans, I know they were emotional after this. Is Brian Callahan, why did they fire Vrabel?
Ownership, seems, right? Like, too big.
What a bad move.
Yeah, I think the Titans actually might want to get my bottom out and get another quarterback, so that'd be fine. Like, they got to start over. That's another team that should sell anybody. I'm all about Drake May. Gosh, that guy's fun to watch. He's got so much arm talent, too. Go ahead, EJ.
Good news for the Giants. Daniel Jones finally threw a touchdown at home. Bad news, you still lose. 27-22, Commanders go to 7-2 in the season.
That honestly felt like I was watching 2010's like Commanders Giants. That was the most irrelevant game of the day. That was just bad football. The Commanders like got lowered to the Giants level, in my opinion. Like, I think the Commanders, I watched that team, I'm like, oh, I thought the Commanders were good. I can't stand how mediocre the Giants are. They're impossible to watch. I know Malik Neighbors got some targets, but make him do more. Like, I hate this Giants team. I hate the way they play. Oh. They make football boring.
No, the Giants are bad, but the thing about Jaden Daniels, even when they're not playing great, he's still going to give you a couple of solutions. The 42-yarder to Zaccheaus. Here's the one thing about the Giants. Everyone's doing them really dirty with the stat of 672 days between Daniel Jones throwing touchdowns at home. He was hurt for a lot of that. Let's try to be a little bit fair. The guy's terrible, but it's not that bad. He missed a lot of games.
Tell that to Giants fans. It ain't that bad.
By the way, you know that I think the Commanders have less turnovers than anybody. Like, they don't make mistakes. It's kind of weird. Like, what happened to the Washington team under Daniel Snyder? They'd made mistakes all the time. So the Commanders seem to have a formula. But again, the Giants are so bad. I'm not taking anything from that win.
Speaking of bad teams, how about Bryce Young leading the Panthers to a 23-22 victory? It was Chuba Hubbard's second touchdown of the day that sealed the win for the Panthers.
Yeah, I don't take a lot of this away from the Panthers. It's more about the Saints to me. And the Chris Olave concussion, and Perloff, you've been talking about it, how he should have sat out for much, much longer. And he gets carted off on a stretcher. And now you have Michael Thomas, the former wide receiver of the Saints, basically calling out Derek Carr that he puts his wide receivers in harm's way, and Carr's have to answer questions about this, and it's just become so much bad with the New Orleans Saints after starting 2-0. Apparently Cam Jordan like wouldn't even walk into the locker room. He just walked right out and Derek Carr to go get him. I mean, Cam Jordan's out here on Twitter apologizing to fans. Rock bottom.
That game was 100% on one person. Dennis Allen had about 9 opportunities to put that game away, but made either conservative offensive calls or just the wrong offensive calls. He blew that game, and the Saints were up the whole time, and they were laughing on the sideline, joking around. Derek Carr did this like fake call that was like this big, ha-ha, we're having so much fun. That, I mean, it's good because they have to bottom out, right? They have to fire Dennis Allen, and now there's no doubt. If you lose to Carolina and Bryce Young, I mean, you don't get any lower.
Surprised he was let on the plane yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's go to Baltimore, where the Ravens beat down the Broncos 41-10. It was an MVP performance for both Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Can I say one thing about Bo Nix? I'm actually a super fan of Bo Nix. He's always excited. That dude misses throws so badly, I cannot believe it.
I was going to say, which part did you like when he's overthrowing Troy Franklin or the other time he overthrew Troy Franklin?
Yeah, no, then he'll make about 5 plays. You're like, oh, okay, there's something here. The Broncos are a winning team that is really a rebuilding team. Like, they should have a lot of time. There's enough there that I think you're excited about Bo Nix. I don't think it's a total failure, but the Ravens are clicking on all cylinders. Their offense, now, like, where do you focus? What do you stop, Maggie? I have no idea. Like, you know how Belichick would take out the best player? Good luck.
I don't know. The only thing for the Ravens I would just say is this looks awesome, but it looked awesome last year.
Looks even more awesome this year.
It does, and Derrick Henry's probably the missing piece. Their defense still isn't good, and I think people are going to run the score up on Sean Payton if they can. He's rubbing people the wrong way, I think.
Oh, the Ravens pulled the dogs off.
It was 41-10.
Yeah, I think they were. How much did they score in the second half? Not much, though.
17 in the second half.
How many?
17. 14 in the third quarter.
Yeah, okay. So it was over very early. They were up 38-10. Anyway, go ahead.
Let's go to Philly, where Perloff wanted Nick Sirianni fired while they were performing, but Eagles still win 28-23. Incredible plays from both Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley.
Well, I think that you really can't give a uniform color the MVP of the league, but I'm going to vote for Kelly Green. That Eagles uniform and that white logo in the middle of the field, and then Saquon Barkley jumping backwards and everyone capturing that photo, there's a lot to feel good about in that realm. We have the worst coach in the NFL, Nick Sirianni.
But we got aesthetic, like a word.
Aesthetically, you have to admit, even you guys who aren't Eagles fans, that was beautiful.
I love those uniforms.
They are so cool. I was trying to think of who the first person that comes to mind when I see those uniforms. Mm-hmm.
Reggie.
I was going to say it's probably Reggie White or like...
I think Randall wore him a little bit. Who's the MVP of this team? Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, or quietly skinny Batman? Because everyone's painting as Saquon Barkley. A.J. Brown's a huge deal for this team.
And he got banged up in the game.
He got banged up. That really worries me because he is playing so well this year.
Also, Ricky Waters, am I right about that? Was he on a team that would have worn those?
Yep.
The fact that you're winning despite your coach.
Yeah, I love it.
Not exactly a formula for success.
No, it is not. Let's go to Arizona, where the Cardinals beat up on the Bears 29-9. It was a rough day for Caleb Williams, who got sacked, I believe, 7 times this game.
Yeah, this was apparently a pro-Bears crowd. It even rained a little bit. Did you see that? They had to close the roof right away because it was raining in the desert. And it should have been... The Bears were not competitive in this game. And Arizona, it's not like they have this amazing defense, but the offense was between McBride and James Conner and Marvin Harrison now. How many catches? I don't even know how many catches he had yesterday. It wasn't a big day for him, but they look exciting. They're not a perfect team by any stretch, but they're an exciting team to watch. I bet the Cardinals. I was one of the easiest bets I had all weekend.
On Friday, I said, watch out for Amari DiMercato. Am I supposed to know this guy? Like, all of a sudden, like, there's a new Barry Sanders in the league on the Cardinals. Where did he come from? Oh, my God. He was amazing.
Saquon is definitely the Barry Sanders.
No, I'm just kidding. But Amari DiMercato had this game. He was unbelievable on Sunday. The Bears looked like the effort looked kind of bad on defense. Did you notice that?
And the defense should be their calling card.
It was weird. It looked like they were not focused after last week.
No, I think it was the Fail Mary hangover.
Let's go to Green Bay, where the Lions jumped out to an early lead thanks to 17 second quarter points as they beat their division rival Packers 24-14 in a rain slop fest.
I mean, super impressed with the Lions. Super impressed. They had major question marks about playing in weather, Jared Goff playing in weather. It could not have looked more disgusting. On TV, this is rain and yuck and probably pretty cold because it's Green Bay. I thought they passed the test with flying colors.
Okay, on the other side, you guys were ripping Jordan Love. They said he shouldn't have been out there. Let me read a stat line. 23 for 39, 273 yards, one terrible pick, no touchdowns. How many open drops were there? There were at least 7. I mean, these Packers receivers could not catch wet balls. So if you prorate that out, like, he actually was pretty good. And also, it wasn't even just a drop. It's like Christian Watson can't finish it. I saw a lot good. I'm telling you, do not bury this Packers team because of what you saw in that rain.
Okay, but we weren't saying, or I wasn't saying, sit Jordan Love because he was playing poorly. It was because he definitely re-injured the groin. He couldn't move.
Williams around there at the end of the game. I mean, they killed them in yards. I think they almost doubled the Lions in total yards because it was garbage time and Love was flinging it all over the field. It was kind of fun to watch.
Another OT thriller. This one was in Seattle. Rams beat the Seahawks 26-20 on a game-winning one-handed catch from DeMarcus Robinson.
I mean, this was another good-bad game. It was ugly, but it was competitive and exciting because it goes to overtime. But I just can't figure out what's going on with Seattle. I thought they were going to have a fun season this year. Geno's throwing bad picks. I mean, JSN is awesome, but... It's too hard for them to get a yard at times. I don't understand it.
I think this was actually a good loss for the Seahawks in the sense that, like, now they know who they are. The Rams probably would have been sellers if they'd lost this game. Now they're back in the buying sea, which I don't know long term. I think both these teams are headed nowhere. Fact.
Let's go to the Sunday night affair. The Vikings were down at halftime, scoring no points, but ended up winning this game 21-13.
That game, there were a lot of bad games on Sunday. I think the Rams-Seahawks was a terribly played game. This was the worst. That was the worst first half
worse
I ever saw.
Worse than Patriots-Titans?
Yo, Patriots-Titans was the Steelers-Rams 1979 Super Bowl compared to this. I mean, honestly, it was like, oh, Sam Darnold with a bad pick. Oh, here's a missed kick. Oh, the Colts are doing nothing. I did not enjoy the aesthetic of this game at all. Luckily, it moved fast. That was the only good thing I had going. Did you think this was a good game? I mean, the points the Vikings left on the field the first half was a joke.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold's going to throw some bad interceptions. It happened. I just don't understand what the Colts are doing. You went to Joe Flacco because you thought you'd be a playoff team. That looks like a bit of an uphill battle. So do you go back to Anthony Richardson? He's just sitting there on the sidelines, like, paying it to, I don't know.
Also, too, now the Vikings, they need a kicker, right? So that's another contender with a kicking situation that looked like, so that is bothering me if I'm the Vikings. The Vikings will make the playoffs just like they did a couple years ago and go nowhere. I'm going to give you that. Isn't that? And by the way, I think most people view the Vikings as like, yeah, playoff team, but not, they don't look dangerous.
Yeah, well, their defense is good. And with Justin Jefferson, you always think they have a chance, but tough. 855-212-4227. Quickly, Timothy is in Michigan, wants to weigh in on a situation from the weekend that got a lot of attention. It was Jason Kelce in Penn State in Happy Valley, and a fan says something derogatory about Travis Kelce. Jason takes his phone and smashes it. Timothy, what did you think when you saw that video of Jason Kelce?
Well, Perloff used the word earlier in the show, desperation, and it reminded me of Thoreau's quote of, most people lead lives of quiet desperation. And many of these fans live so vicariously through a team, through a player, that it's no longer fandom, it's become a mental illness. And people who are like that they're vile, vicious, vituperative, and they're not cheering, but criticism, and that's why they come to the games. And unfortunately, let's say Kelce is a reasonable person, such speech would make a reasonable person very, very angry. But on the other hand, Kelce, possibly when he loses a war of words, resorts to violence. And it was a bad scene all the way around.
Man, Timothy, that was like a PhD level breakdown there. I have actually had to look up the word vituperative. Do you know what that means?
No.
Vituperative means bitter and abusive. Do you think fans are going to games just to be angry? No, I think they're Penn State fans.
They
know they're losing that game.
I'm from a city where everybody goes to the game just to be angry. That's what you're paying your ticket to, so you can boo.
Oh, just to get out your aggression and frustration about life?
Yeah, that's where you go to a sporting event so you can scream and be a maniac. And it's not good, but yeah, definitely. I think part of the ticket is you're paying to scream at performers who fail. Like, right, that's all part of the deal.
Huh. I've never really thought of it that way.
I come to Philly for one game.
Thought you'd go to cheer.
What? Nobody. Yeah, but if you lose, you're going to, like, there's a flip side of cheering. You have to go to boo, right? We're not St. Louis Cardinals fans. That's like
cheering Paul Skeens after a no hit you through seven innings.
Yeah. No. I think you go to get your vent your frustrations and be a maniac and yell and scream and say I hate the refs. Like,
right. But there's still a line. Even you know that, obviously.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce, to me, so yes, did he get provoked? Absolutely. But does he have to keep walking? Also, yes. We'll get more into it. 855-212-4227. Don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Man, I got to tell you, I said some mean things in the last segment there. I kind of ripped the Vikings. I feel
bad. Right?
Am I crazy? Or if you look around the NFL, are there an unusual amount of kind of bad to mediocre teams?
Just said there's 9 teams that have 2 wins.
How is that mathematically possible, Maggie?
I don't know. They're all losing to each other. I have no idea. Math, that's really your strong suit, Dartmouth, not mine.
I was an English major. At least you're married to...
Oh, that explains it.
You're married to an engineer. I actually talked about your husband this weekend.
Oh, really? In what way?
I was explaining to my daughter that your husband was an engineer, and I said we should invite him over to the house to fix everything.
Oh, it's so great being married to him.
Build everything. Like, can he build IKEA furniture?
Oh, you can. The best part, I love my husband so much, and he has many great qualities. And once you get to, like, the top 10 of those great ones, one of the practically great things about having him as a husband is he fixes everything. Yeah. And you can get the most crazy IKEA furniture you ever wanted. He can put it together. Boom.
You're
just
kidding
like that.
Me.
It's like nothing.
How much does he charge an hour?
And he charges me $100 an hour. It's weird. But yeah.
So that's the discount. So it's at least $150 for you.
Is there a friends and family deal? Honestly, like to have that ability.
So.
I open an instruction book and I read about three words and I just black out. I can't even, I cannot read instructions. I don't know what, I have to decide. If I have IKEA furniture in there, I'm like, I'll try and figure it out on my own.
Does he take things apart and put them back together just for fun? Or
no.
Can he like turn a vacuum into a toaster oven and then, into,
no?
No,
okay. No. He's got regular hobbies like raising a kid and being married to me.
While you're angry on the treadmill.
100% a full-time job to be married to me. He should be sainted.
Actually, I remember him at the kickball game. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I met him on the street here.
Yeah.
And A, he was like excited to meet me, which seemed a knock on him.
He actually listens to the show. But after all these years, the fact that he still listens to the show is amazing.
Yeah.
But on the street, on a Wednesday at lunchtime, couldn't have been farther away from this crazy competitive kickball guy.
So they were explaining the kickball rules, and I'm like kind of half listening, and all of a sudden... out of the crowd emerges as he does a Karate Kid and tightens his bandana around his head. Now, excuse me, can you explain the pickoff rule one more time? Like, deadly serious at kickball. EJ, I know this is a post-traumatic stress disorder.
EJ's triggered.
Andy proceeded to ask three questions about, like, okay, when exactly can you leave on a stolen base? You know, is the pitcher allowed to go move over
first? Is
there
an infield fly
rule? Is there a
rule?
Balk rule?
And I got mild-mannered, like, plaid shirt, corduroy pants. It's great to meet you. Put a face to the name.
Bring an official or a referee into the mix and
look out.
I wish I did listen to him. Maybe I wouldn't have been playing so hard.
Well, you were trying to steal. You didn't even need that third base because you would have got knocked in by a single with one out.
Well, maybe there's more to me and my husband than meets the eye.
Yeah.
There's probably less.
EJ, I was actually watching when that injury happened. It was terrible. But man, you were feeling it. You were the only guy on our team who got like a real solid hit the first time around, and you were flying around the bases.
It was Aaron Rodgers at the MetLife Stadium.
I know. And the shame is we really needed you on that kickball tournament. Like I was like, pretty soon in, I'm like, oh, EJ's one of our better players. And then it all, sorry, buddy.
Man, those are the breaks, right?
Yeah, I would say Maggie's husband and EJ were our two stars. I was dealing with an MCL sprain and an ankle issue, and my back tightened up.
Meanwhile, my leg fell apart.
I was smart. I was like,
Deion,
you know,
Dawkins comes over, and he's like, tough break, buddy. Well, see ya. Like, wait a minute.
Oh, you signed that waiver, right? Okay, great.
I will not take that Deion Dawkins slander. He was
nice.
So cool.
It was cool.
We were all like, EJ, you got to get a picture with Deion Dawkins holding you like a baby after a knee injury. That's going to be such a great memory.
I thought there was something about tickets maybe or something about taking care of you that I haven't seen yet.
There's still time.
All right, you want to go watch the Jets in Buffalo?
I was hoping the Monday night game would happen. That did not. But again, all good.
You're being nice. Bogus is here with headlines.
And they're sponsored by PXG. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football. Use code football. That 5-0 start faded into a two-game skid, but the Vikings winners again last night.
Yeah, finally.
It wasn't... pretty for
Wait,
a while.
Finally what?
They won again.
Finally they won again. They beat a 2-16.
Oh, you know that was Maggie, right?
The fact that you could hear the treadmill going is so embarrassing.
You know, McDermott's only lost twice his entire career to Miami. Like, what are you talking about? This was not a big game.
Felt big.
No, it didn't. Did it really?
All division games are big.
No, not in the AFC East.
Listen, when they play the Patriots, I won't get this crazy.
The Patriots and the Dolphins have the same record.
Yeah, that's weird. That's odd.
What I would be concerned about is that Keon Coleman drop at the... Are those wide receivers... And I know Amari Cooper was out, but even Amari Cooper is not exactly a... He can drop the ball, too. Is there enough?
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
No, I know.
This is why I get crazy.
I almost texted you.
I'm stomping on the treadmill for 3 hours.
I almost texted you in the first half.
What's wrong with you? But do they have enough?
Well, I almost texted you in the first half. I'm like, oh, they're pulling out the 2023 playbook, which is Hike, Josh, you do everything.
Yeah.
It did feel like a Josh, you do everything first half.
They forget sometimes about these position on the field called a running back.
Yeah,
sometimes they forget about it, but then they'll go back to it every now and then.
I know, but Josh Allen was feeling frisky. But, okay, anyway.
Those were the Bills. I was speaking about the Vikings, who beat the Colts last night, 21-13. It was 7-0 Indy at halftime because of a fumble return touchdown. That was Sam Darnold's fumble. He also tossed two picks, but then three second-half touchdown throws to get that win. Meanwhile, new starting QB Joe Flacco, not the spark the Colts wanted, but it wasn't his fault, says head coach Shane Steichen.
It starts with myself as the head coach. I got to keep looking at, you know, what we're doing offensively. You know what I mean? We're obviously, we got eight left. You know, we're halfway through the year now. And just kind of look at, you know, scheme stuff and what we're doing, and we'll go from there.
Meanwhile, you guys mentioned this earlier this hour, Jameis Winston wasn't good in his second start for Cleveland. Three picks in a game that was over by halftime.
Herbert rolling to his right, sets his feet, takes a shot downfield, Q, wide open, 30, 25, 20. Turn on the Jets, Quentin. Touchdown, Chargers.
Mad Money Smith on Chargers Radio. Herbert throwing for 250, two scores in the first half. LA cruising to a 27-10 win in Cleveland. The Cowboys on a three-game skid, and they keep picking up injuries. Dak Prescott did not finish yesterday's loss in Atlanta with a hamstring issue. CeeDee Lamb has a hurt shoulder. QB and receiver expected to get MRIs today. And the Raiders have fired offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, plus two of his assistants, after their fifth straight loss, 41-24 in Cincinnati. It's the franchise's longest skid in six seasons.
Also, I'm sorry, can we stop hiring guys because of how they looked when they were coaching the greatest quarterbacks of all time? So, like, Luke Getsy, wasn't he Aaron Rodgers' coordinator at one point and worked with Rodgers?
But he was with the Bears last year.
And he was bad.
Yes.
But he was good when he was with Rodgers. Am I remembering that right?
Guy.
Right. So, of course he's going to look good. Same with Nathaniel Hackett. Same thing with Josh McDaniel. Even McDaniel had a little success with Mac Jones that first year.
Say the other one, Adam Gase.
Adam Gase is another. Like, being Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator, I guess outside of Bruce Arians, is the most thankless job, or should be. Those guys are going to be good with anybody.
Well, I would just counter Raiders.
You know what's there?
That's the only... it's a tough assignment. Look at his quarterback.
That's a good Odyssey sportsman.
There's one thing.
I'm Andrew Perloff. Raiders. I'm Andrew Perloff.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get those really long sponsors, you have to cut down the content. Yeah. The thing about it's one thing not to coach the greatest quarterback of all time.
List.
The other thing to try to coach the worst starting quarterbacks of all time, to go from AOC to Ritter to Minshew, like, I'm sorry, there's no coach who's going to succeed here, Maggie. There's not a single coach who can do this.
You're right, but that's why I don't understand why you would fire the guy. So Mike Tannenbaum, a former GM, had a tweet where he said, usually you don't fire three guys on the offensive side because you don't have that much depth in the coaching staff. So who are you elevating? And I have this sneaky suspicion that Antonio Pierce thinks he can do it all.
Yeah, probably.
Or Tom Brady's going to run the offense.
So
I'm kidding, Maggie. I'm kidding.
No, well, now my wheels are turning. Because I think Brady's one and done on the broadcast thing anyway. He's getting better, to be fair to Tom. He is getting better, but it's still not a pleasant listen.
It's better. That's the thing. I just, like we said from the beginning, I don't like his voice.
He's too sped up or something. I don't know.
He's at least talking more and having points and seeing things, but I still find his voice annoying.
Here's what I care about. Can we just get Max Crosby the Lions and just end the charade? It's not, I guess it won't happen. They keep saying we won't trade Max Crosby. He's still awesome, despite that dumpster fire of a team. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I'm trying to get everyone to root for the Lions. They don't need it. But, I mean, Max Crosby's one of the most likable players in the league to go to the most likable team. There's no reason for it. Why is he in Vegas still?
I don't know if the Lions want to give up the amount of draft capital. They don't do that kind of thing.
Yep.
The Atlanta Hawks rolled through New Orleans last night, 126-111. Zion doing Zion things, a late scratch with right hamstring tightness. The Warriors have upgraded Steph Curry to questionable for tonight's game with the Wizards. He's missed three games with that left ankle issue. More gold glove notes. Win number 5 for Giants third baseman Matt Chapman. Cleveland left fielder Stephen Kwan and second baseman Andres Jimenez win for the third year in a row. Connor Bedard, 3 assists in Chicago's 4-2 win in Anaheim. Ryan Blaney won the NASCAR postseason race at Martinsville. He and William Byron get the remaining 2 shots at the season title in next weekend's finale. And the defending champion Columbus Crew do not survive the opening round of this MLS postseason. They lost in PKs at the Red Bulls last night. That's a 2-game sweep. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogish. Coming up next, who was in the right, who was in the wrong? Jason Kelce versus a fan. Was he in the right to take a fan's phone and smash it after the fan said something bad about Travis Kelce, something reprehensible? Or should he have kept walking? Get to that next. If you haven't seen the video yet of Jason Kelce, it's something. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And Perloff, it's Kelce's walking through the crowd at Happy Valley. He's there for game day. And someone says something absolutely reprehensible to him about his brother. It's not it's not language you would ever use. It's horribly offensive. So Kelce stops, grabs the person's phone, and smashes it into the ground because the person was like filming the whole thing. Now, I think Kelce, without knowing it, made this a lot worse for himself.
Right.
Because he likes to be the man of the people, and that's great. And it's separates him from other people on TV. It doesn't seem like it's much of a stretch, quite frankly, that he likes kind of being out there and drinking beers with everybody and taking shots through bowling balls and all that stuff. But what he did by giving that troll attention in this way is he's now in some backwards, because we are not right now in our society. It's now given, I don't say permission, but it's courting other people to go up to him in public and say reprehensible things just to get their 15 minutes of fame or just to get under Jason Kelce's skin. I think ultimately he's going to really regret doing what he did.
Okay. Can I have a completely unlikable take that people listening, I apologize, you're going to think I'm a jerk? It's not, it really came back to last week. Dennis Schroeder, the Nets guard, came after a kid in the crowd who called Ben Simmons trash.
Right. It was in the tunnel.
In the tunnel.
Yeah.
That's what you get paid $25 million a year to do, to take the slings and arrows of the fans. Like, the money should be enough. Like, I'm sorry, you have to show restraint. And unfortunately, you have to show restraint because you are so physically superior to these other people. Like, Jason Kelce can't get in a scuffle with somebody. It's not fair, but, like, you can't threaten violence if you're Jason Kelce because you're just too big and strong.
Well, the fact that he didn't put his hands on the guy, that he just took the phone and smashed it.
That's along the road, too. That's doing something physical. He didn't just say, you know, it wasn't verbal. I mean, that's physical, no?
Yeah, no,
I mean, that felt like that was 2 inches away from Jason Kelce body slamming somebody.
Well, or also what happens is he stops, he confronts the guy, smashes the phone. I'm not going to call him a kid, but if the dude there had a friend, maybe the friend then pushes Kelce or something, and yes, it escalates to the point. I know this is also, people are mad at us about this. I think he's got to keep walking, but for different reasons than you. It's not because of the money so much. And like, he's making this much money. He's got a lot to lose, number one. They have a number one podcast. He's got all these ESPN gigs. But I just think that if you pay any mind to people who are doing that, it almost validates their existence, right? And I know that's a hard instinct, especially if you say something that awful about someone's brother, about your family or a friend or someone close to you. That's not just saying, oh, you suck. This was really pointed, horrible words that this person was saying.
To me, it's a little related to some young athletes complaining about social media hate. Like, first of all, I get social media hate all the time. It's disgusting and it doesn't bother me at all because I'm like, these people are hiding behind a computer. If you're an athlete who's getting paid millions of dollars, like, just don't go on that app. I think that, and again, I know like a lot of people disagree with me. Like, that's, to me, like, yeah, who cares? Why are you going to let that get to you? Like, even Jason Kelce, like, why did that guy bother you? It's just some, as you said, troll.
EJ, you see this the total opposite way. You think that we're not saying the fan is in the right. The fan is absolutely in the wrong, but it's just...
He definitely did deserve to get punched, but it couldn't be by Jason Kelce.
Is it worth it for Kelce to do what he did, or should he have just kept walking? You say he was totally in the right to smash the phone.
Here's what I'll say. I have no issue with him smashing the phone.
Right.
Would I have done it? No. But I do think we're crossing a line where I think these keyboard warriors are now going into the real world and thinking they can say or do anything. And that is leading to incidents, not just with players and fans, but fans and fans. I think that people are saying stuff to people thinking that there's going to be no repercussions because they live 95% of their life with zero repercussions. So the fact that this guy who only did this because he wanted to get a viral moment, he literally only does this because he has a phone in his hand recording Jason Kelce. If he doesn't have social media, that's not a thing. The internet's not a thing. He doesn't do this.
Right.
So for me, it's like it's a problem with these people looking for clout, especially young people, think they can get clout by having this viral moment, Jason Kelce, that's leading to incidents that are just so ridiculous and just out of line.
But here's the thing. The guy
teaches him a lesson to not do that again.
He doesn't. But see, that's the thing, right? You would think it teaches somebody a lesson. But in fact, I think it just empowers other people who want that 15 minutes of fame. Like the two idiot Yankee fans from last week who interfered with Mookie Betts. Do you really think they've learned their lesson, or do you think now we get more fans who are trying to make themselves part of the story? Like, I wish that it worked that way, but I think people are so thirsty for their moment. Like, if that guy's recording and he says that awful thing to Kelce and Kelce just keeps walking, he doesn't have a video now to post.
Oh, no, he's under a post. I mean, I don't agree with that. I think he has a video posting him saying something to Travis Kelce. Jason Kelce. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that in some ways the troll is in some ways a win-win situation, unless there is actually a real threat that something may happen to them if they step out of line. Which, by the way, newsflash: you did that to some random person in the street, you get knocked out. It wouldn't even be a conversation.
But EJ, you realize that this is not the first time that athletes have ever had cameras in their faces. I mean, how many times have we seen, first of all, athletes and celebrities beat up paparazzi guys too? Like, this is not like, it's not like all brand new where athletes have had to confront these situations. It's always been going on.
But it's rare that it's a paparazzi, and yes, sometimes they get out of line, but they're not a fan, right? Like, there is some professionalism to some degree. A fan can just say...
The paparazzi are worse. I mean, those TMZ guys will yell anything to get a rise, right?
Well, they're not going to yell. They're not going to yell what this guy yelled.
But they're definitely bad. I mean, that's...
They're bad.
Not saying offensive things.
Right, but not going to sit there and say use a homophobic slur to get your attention and bump into you.
Right, but they're going to cross your personal space a million times. Like, I feel like there is a responsibility of athletes and famous people to be above that fray.
I mean, I get that, but at the end of the day, again, one, there's a reason why paparazzi aren't doing as much because of social media.
That's the laws. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, social media, we don't really need them anymore because everyone has a camera phone. And perhaps what would those paparazzi incidents are now becoming fan incidents. And I think that's more dangerous because paparazzi, they have a thin line. I agree. There's not much in terms of like decorum, but the fans have is none. There's no rules, which is why you saw what happened.
But you think this is like the James Franklin incident where a fan yelled at the coach. Like, you don't think that's been happening in college football for 50 years?
No, that's different. I'm talking about James Franklin. I'm talking about, you know.
No, this guy said something really offensive. The fan who came up to who was at the railing for James Franklin, as far as we know, that guy didn't say anything offensive. He just said, how come you were in the red zone so much and only came away with,
which is, by the way, great question.
Which is not a terrible question. James Franklin 100% has to keep walking at that point.
But what was said to Jason Kelce in the annals of athletes getting harassed, that was by no means some unique situation.
But
you don't think that happens all the time?
I think it makes it harder, though, to move on when it's that kind of language because it's so offensive. If the guy just said, Kelce, you suck, I think he would have kept walking. He wouldn't have smashed the phone.
So if you elevate the language, then all of a sudden the athlete,
still has to keep walking, but I do think this was unique in that fan.
Do you think that was a unique interaction? Look at some of the signs at the SEC games this weekend. We'll see if that was unique.
Yikes. 855-212. I'm giving you the number, but we got to go. Call us tomorrow. EJ Stewart, thank you. Ryan Botcher, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and coffee drinkers. You guys are the best. See you tomorrow.